Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian. Welcome tonight. You have reached the Space Age Bachelor Pad in our new Blog Talk radio show, Von Wehhunt and the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, with an epic retro encore episode number 5 tonight. With a star date of September 7th, 2021 AD. And again, tonight it's a very special time in America. And I welcome you to the Bachelor's Den from all over the world. We have listeners in America and in about 15 nations. So enter the radio octagon at your own risk. Now, I have been on the radio for quite a while. When I started this show and my hard-hitting political show every Thursday night, I used to broadcast on KFNX 1100 AM in Phoenix for 4.5 years. Well, an amazing time for sure. And I knew that there would always be thunder and lightning and all kind of earthquake. We moved the earth. We moved a lot of people with our shows. And this show is no different, because this show, we will delve into the bachelor lifestyle, the bachelor's den, dating tips, some philosophy, some fun, some rock and roll. So buckle up, gents. We have a lot of, I'm sure, very sexy, sultry ladies listening in. Speaking of earthquakes and lightning and thunder, right before the show, this just happened from the Texas News studio, a 7.4 earthquake just came off the Mexican coastline, and there's lightning and some fire and thunder, and that was quite the intro to the show as well. Thunder, lightning, and earthquakes always follow the Von Wehhunt show. Amazing tonight. But Mexico and the Hispanic world, there's a lot of bachelordom there as well, and we have our thoughts and prayers out for them tonight. But back to our show. We welcome you to our college fraternity on the radio. And God, this is where our theme tonight, I thought it through, and it is the Bachelor King is reborn. And this show will be the 5th episode in a series that will span 1,000 years. And now it's time for the Animal House, our fraternity pledge and oath.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at arms, do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on, your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, Your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yes. We always have the fraternity pledge before our frat house show tonight. Now, we're being listened to by a lot of people in the country and foreign nations, a lot of powerful people and interesting people. Probably even Hollywood is listening in tonight. Entertainment moguls, etc. So when you call the show later on after the intros and the monologue and some fun promos at 563-999-3437, I want you to step out like the proud, confident bachelor on the make, and we will talk about any issues that pertain to you and your life and the audience and kind of go from there. If you're a new caller to our show, this great bachelor format, you get in front of everyone. That's the power that you have as a brand new caller to our show. Now, America just had its Labor Day weekend. While the married men toiled and worked hard and had their honey-do list and mandated chores around the house from their American true wife at times, she made sure the work was done, and she checked each box very diligently, as you know. We, as the Bachelors of America, were into play, travel, having a good time, drinking with our friends, backyard barbecues or grill outs, catching the latest movie or flick with the date of our choice, or making the scene in our own very special and unique way. Maybe you were in the mountains. Maybe you were camping. Maybe as a bachelor, you went MGTOW, which stands for men going their own way. Maybe you went to Las Vegas for the Sunset Strip or some hot spots. Maybe you just hung out on your farm or ranch with your honey. Not a honey-do list, but your honey. There is a distinct difference. We don't do chores. We have fun. We enjoy life. We don't live to work. We work to live. That is the distinction. The prime distinction of the American Bachelor. We're envied all over the world. Every man in any third-rate country would love to come here and live the lifestyle of the American Bachelor. Conversely, every woman in the world wants to come here and be a bachelorette or have all the rights given to her, bestowed upon her by the American system. Now, tonight we'll talk a little bit how the government attacks the man, how it attacks people. The men in America get the short end of the stick more and more as we go down this matriarchal society where they chip away at our rights. It's bad enough that we have to worry about the New World Order and Red Dawn Chinese invasion. We have to worry about an EMP attack. We have to worry about, you know, your corporate boss, your feminazi in the human resources office, the other boss who's, going through a lifestyle change, shall we say, who probably hates your guts. Why, you ask? I'll tell you why. Because you're the strong, confident, heterosexual, confident male in America, especially if you're of the Caucasian-European blend, and they hate your guts. They're attacking us at every chance they get, and the American Bachelor knows all that. He'll have a beer, toss it back, laugh among his friends, but deep down, we all know what their agenda is. But tonight, we will make fun of all that. We will have a good time. There will be some serious discussion, but we want to hear more about experiences. We'll save our hard-hitting, incisive intel for Thursday night. Don't forget, that's our hard-hitting political show. Now, this show, for all you newbies out there, I get all your cards and telegrams and letters. This is the first Tuesday of the month. We may expand it. We're working on that. But for right now, it's the first Tuesday. And so when you call the show, make it count. We're now ready to start The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Love that. Now, if you heard the song, were you listening to the lyrics? I always listen to lyrics and songs. I also love the beat. In that song, it said, "You're down the aisle and up the creek." God, I love that. This segment's called How to Lead a Great Bachelor Life. Now, this is all based, this show, it was a lot of thought and foresight in my meditative state, of course, over a few cocktails. The bar is always open here at the Bachelor's Den, but it's based on my hit book called The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, the retro and modern-day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. And beyond is what this show is. No one wrote a book like I did. Every man in America needs my book. We're hitting up a lot of people trying to get this book out there. Help us along. A bachelor is someone who isn't married. This may be by default if you just haven't found the right partner yet, or it may be by choice. A bachelor's life can be fulfilling and interesting, provided you don't feel that not being part of a couple is causing you to miss out on enjoying life. With a happy heart and a determination to live life well, leading a bachelor's life can be as pleasant and a very rewarding option for many men. Now, if you find the right lady out there, I say go for it. Have the nuclear family, enjoy, have 4 or 5 kids. God knows we need some great kids in our society. But marriage, the problem with it, it's one size fits all. It doesn't fit everybody. And for those where it doesn't fit, that's where my book comes in. Also, most men, whether they like to admit it or not, in the course of their adult lives will be bachelors for far more years than they are married, or married and miserable, I should say. So more men are bachelors for a longer period than they are married. Those are the actual statistics. The era of people being married for 20, 30, 40 years is gone. It's sort of a a relic, if you will, of the 1950s, 1960s, and maybe 70s nuclear family, if that, which is good and bad. So we will talk about that as well. And gentlemen, pirates and rat pack bastards worldwide, tonight I want you to put your best red velvet smoking jacket on. Light up your cigar or pipe with your favorite vintage and cool lighter. Get the cufflinks ready, baby. Wear your favorite leather loafers and slick back that hair. Retro Goodfellas, Italiano Goomba style, with your favorite manly numero uno cologne. As we delve into the bachelor universe and galactic cosmos with wild abandon. Now, some things I wanted to reach you, we have some themes this evening that we could talk about. I told you on the last show, episode 4, that there was a slogan that is used widely in Mexico called No Money, No Honey. Now, in the Hispanic world, in Central America, South America, even Mexico, et cetera, they will say, no money, no honey, senor. You know, they kind of shrug and go, no se, no se. I know I've been down there several times, and that's what they will tell you. If you don't have any money, you're SOL. You're out of luck, buddy. Hit the bricks, pal. What they tell you on the East Coast or the Midwest. And also, on our last show, we talked about some things, kind of a recap tonight. And no, I don't have a friend in the diamond business, capiche? I don't go for the high-maintenance women. It's not my game, and every guy's got his own game. Your mission in life, if you choose to accept it, is to find out what is your game, what makes you tick as a man. So, we don't have friends in the diamond business. I must hear that ad about 20 times a day. That's for cuts. That's for the weak men of the universe. We speak the truth on my show. American women versus expat women and lifestyle and chicks. Now, there is no need for you to recreate the wheel here. Since I keep telling you guys, you have my book. Read it. I did all the footwork for you with glee, with wild abandon. All you have to do is buy it and read it. It's on Amazon.com. You can go to eBay. You can go to other fine bookstores. Ask for The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's the accumulated book of male wisdom. And part two, the next book, will be coming out shortly. Now, we also talked about the $10 coffee date. Max. Now, some guys say you could spend $30 or $40. Don't even need to spend that. Folks, we're in the advanced class. There's no need to spend $40, $50 on the first get-together. That is for losers who are desperate, who are trying to meet women. Now, women, we'll get into their mind as I'm an expert at the navigation of the female mind. We love women on the show. We love them. I love to be with them. My friends enjoy them. They're fun to talk to. I enjoy how they view the world. I enjoy how they look. They smell. They're wonderful. But one thing I know about women is if they want, really want, in their heart of hearts, in their mind of mind, they really want, and also if you have a fat enough wallet, kidding, a sidebar there. If they really want to meet up with you, they will. If not, don't worry about them. Write them off. Because then we know through our qualified service and our qualifier, they only see you as a walking ATM machine. We don't pay that PPM crap, which stands for pay per meet. Have you met women online and say, I'll meet you at Starbucks, but I make $25 an hour. I want PPM. When I first heard that, about fell out of my seat. I thought, I didn't know you were a hooker. And she basically went, no, guys pay me just to meet for coffee. And I go, well, they're losers and they can have you. I don't want you now. So screw you. I'm moving on, honey. And good luck. Be sure to duck out there too. Well, this is kind of a trendy thing on the West Coast in L.A. and out west on the East Coast as well. If chicks are too hot, the problem is they get too big of a head. and they're too high maintenance. No guy deep down really wants, ladies, a high maintenance girl. We want a pretty girl, a cute girl, a sexy girl, a fun girl, and one that will not blow up your wallet or your mind. What America needs, I always say this, is not more military-age males from Afghanistan or other foreign lands to invade us. What America needs is millions and millions of hot young women from foreign countries to give their sisters in America, in my view, some competition. America was built on competition because we know as real men that there is nothing better than watching women compete and fight against each other for a man's attention and affection. In foreign countries, that's the way it goes. They have more women than shoes. In our country, all we do is import foreign military-age males. That's one thing really effed up about America. We will call a spade on my show. We do not mince words. If this show offends you, this show is not your British cup of tea, then you need to turn the dial and get the hell out of here because you're in the radio octagon. If my show is too strong for you, bristling with testosterone, then you need to get the hell out of Dodge, buddy, because you're about to get overrun by the lion. Now, this book needs to be on every college campus in America and on every man's bookshelf, whether he is, you know, single or married or even divorced. Now, scientists tell us that there is a planet out there called Planet X with the hot blondes. It was reported, this is all fact, I do research these things, by a CIA remote viewer. These are these psychics hired by our CIA. And he told the CIA that he went to a planet several times, and the whole planet has hot blondes on it. Very few men. Of course, I dug deeper. The remote viewer was a bachelor, of course. But I want to go with him on one of those rides to the cosmos. Let's find Planet X. As you're going through life, guys, you'll people, your company, could be your neighbors, could be your coworkers, could be people online and social media. I always say, don't let the turkeys get you down, boys. The media, for one thing, is trying to demoralize all of us. They're trying to demoralize you and depress you. They're trying to say that you can't do anything about the Matrix. Well, screw them. Don't let them get away with that. Remember, you've read my book. You're on the cutting edge. You're the tip of the spear. You are a new man of the millennium. It's right there in the title. The new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. It's all good in the hood, as they say. Dating today can be toxic, but it can also be fun. You have to know how to date. You have to know that the rules change constantly. Now, I would say this. Let's say you're a divorced male. A few of you guys have written me on the show. And I would say this. If your wife was hot or at least semi-attractive, your kids are going to be attractive, and they will have a big leg up in life. Looks, physicality, and brains do matter. And if they've got the whole package of book smarts and street smarts like your Uncle Vaughn, they can go places and do things. The world will be in your rearview mirror or your bitch. It's your call, to be blunt. Now, a lot of you guys have called the show and keep doing that. But when I was a young buck coming up, I had many opportunities to get married. And I just saw red flags. And so I skipped the starter wife. I skipped the starter family. And I just got up and moved and relocated out west where I belong, where I started, California. But I moved to Arizona, and I retired on paper only at a very early age. I didn't retire, but I kid people and say I moved to Arizona because it's known to be a retirement state. So when I was in my late 20s, I retired to Arizona. So I built up my stronghold and compound in the Arizona mountains and made the best choices I could and still do. Business is war. Love is war. Dating is war. Politics is war. We all know that. Sun Tzu, the art of war. So, what America needs are more individuals, more rugged individuals, as Ronald Reagan called them. If you want to get married, get married. Be the best father you can be. Raise your kids, have a great time. I know fathers, I know bachelors, I know divorced men. All good. It all depends on what you want out of life. Like Socrates said, know thyself, know what you want. Know where you want to go and know what you want to do when you get there. That's what it's about. So there's a lot of philosophy with this stuff. There's a lot of Jedi mind tricks that we'll go over and I can teach you. And I'm sure that our callers will have some great information as well. And we're going to go to them right after this. My fellow gentlemen, is exactly how women sound when they feel they have one up to you. Nyeh, 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 nyeh. Nyeh, 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 nyeh. God, so typical. Funny. Funny as hell. Well, with that, time for some calls. Let's go to Paul the Gladiator in North Phoenix. And then to the illustrious Irish Pirate. Remember, if you're a new caller, call at 563-999-3437. Paul the Gladiator, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Good, man. I got my Pacifico beer with my homegrown limes out of the lime tree. And,
yes.
Doing some midweek work. Midweek work and listening to the Bachelor Guide to the Galaxy.
God, love it, man. You got one hell of a lime tree in your backyard. This thing produces more limes than a Las Vegas casino bar. My God. And they're all delicious.
And it's a persimmon tree, so it goes from limes to lemons to oranges.
God,
and,
I love that.
The last few years, I stopped counting at like 300 to 400 each year. It's like it's just going insane.
It's going insane, man. Well, what's funny is we all live in a desert here in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area. But what a lot of people don't know around the country is everything grows here, man. I mean, when we get the monsoons or some water, some moisture, it's amazing how the fruit trees thrive, the palms are swaying. And we're rocking it out. And basically, I had to go to my own bar and mix up a cocktail, which I have here in front of me, an adult beverage of my choice, and while the song is playing. So there's a purpose, folks, why we play songs. It gives the host and the audience time to get a drink. So what would you like to talk about tonight, my friend?
Yeah, I always assume the breaks were to make a cocktail myself. So
exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's funny what happens to like lemon trees or persimmon trees, lime trees, out here in the desert. If you run a hose up the tree and you turn it on once a day, it's amazing. Things grow. A little water, a little dry air.
Oh,
you never know what'll.
Yeah.
You know.
It's crazy. Well, I like to interject one thing here. We are the bachelors in post-COVID America, right? And so I have some fun on these dating apps, and I've been looking at some of these ladies here on the internet, and I've noticed, which I've told you guys before, that some of these women have terrible photographs. And we don't – ladies, if you're listening, just do me a favor. We don't want to see half your eyeball. I do not need extreme close-ups of your nostrils. I don't need to see your kids or ex-kids. I wouldn't mind a dog photograph, but don't post 12. Women do the damnedest thing on these dating sites. You might see one picture of the girl, and the rest are airbrushed, or they look fake. It looks like three different women. What are your thoughts about that, Paul?
Yeah, you know, with dating – I don't go to dating apps, but I'll go to dating sites. And, you know, if I see pictures that are like the woman's cut out, obviously she was standing next to another man before. You know, I kind of bypass those. If a woman doesn't have – I have pictures of myself. I don't have to cut myself out of all my ex-girlfriend's photos. If a woman doesn't have, you know, three or four photos of her enjoying life somewhere, somehow, you know, then I don't click on their profiles. Cause that just means, you know, that basically all I'm going to hear about are the guys that she cut out of the photos on her profile, which I don't really care. I don't want to hear that. And, you know, if they have that their interests are hiking, which nobody does because I never see anybody on the mountains myself. And their hobbies besides hiking is shopping and dining out. Then, like you were talking about, the shopping and the dining out will tell you that it's pay for play. You know, you want to meet them, they're expecting filet mignon and lobster tail for dinner. And,
exactly.
You know, it's a peck on the cheek and see you later, bye, you know. And,
right.
You know, I've had my share of beautiful women in my life. Not, you know, I'm not trying to feather my own nest here, but I'm not a bad-looking man. And, you know, I keep myself in college football condition. And, but yeah, you know, all these women, they're expecting diamond rings and you know, stacks of $10,000 in their purse just to go out and date with them, and it's ridiculous. So
literally,
yeah, you know,
yeah.
You just got to get through the profiles. I tell you, I don't go after the most gorgeous women on the dating sites. I kind of step down from them because I already know that, you know, 4,113 guys in the county are going after those top women.
Exactly.
So, you know, I step down from them.
It's fierce. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fierce competition. And unless you're going to take them out to Mastro's on Friday night and out to see a Celine Dion concert on Saturday night, you know, you're not going to compete with some of these guys who are stupid enough to spend that kind of money. But, you know, so I always step down from them. And, you know me, I typically don't date women who have had children. I like women who have not had children. I don't like the whole, like, ex, the father of the children issues, or even the children and the grandchildren, and you got to be family-oriented. And I'm like, why? I'm not having children. Why do I have to be family-oriented, you know? So,
right.
You know, like, I hate when I see that. Like, you know, these women are grandmothers, and you got to be family-oriented to date them? Like, why? Because I got to hang out with your family now? Like, I got to buy your grandkids, you know, birthday gifts and Christmas gifts.
Now we're getting somewhere. She's saying, if you want to see me, you got to buy into my family. And that's what they do. It's charity and stick approach. Don't fall for it, guys. Don't fall for it. These women will say that. If you want to see me, now it's okay if she wants to, this is my son, this is my daughter. But don't hang your kids over our head like we have to go through the gauntlet. Through your two or three or four or five kids to see you. That's BS. That's more Bernie Sanders. We don't need any of that, man. I agree.
Right. Yep. So, I'm not into that whole family-oriented thing, and I'm I tend to go, you know, try to date women who have not had kids. I'm not going after the big buxom blondes, you know, from Scottsdale. And, you know, quite honestly, they don't have anything in their brain capacity for thought. But, you know, I tend not, you know, they haven't had to develop their personality or their brains because everybody always told them they were beautiful and that was kind of their deal. So I want somebody who had to develop a sense of intelligence, sense of thought. So, you know, you just got to be careful with these dating sites and apps, man. You got to kind of got to know what you're going to get, and you kind of steer your ship in the right port, or you're going to end up in a very expensive port of call, and you'll find out that your bank account's a lot less, and you got nothing to show for it, you know, so.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I always say, Paul, that a lot of guys have a champagne wishes and caviar dreams, but they have a beer billfold. And, guys, you know who you are. If you've got a beer billfold, there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually, you can only go up. And we all have a beer billfold. So don't try to get girls that are used to, you know, guys loaning them their BMW or loaning them their villa. I know idiot guys, rich guys that put women on an allowance. And they literally give women thousands of, now, these women have to be super hot, but you know, we're just having this conversation the other night, and I said, when I was at college or even high school, when I came up, I couldn't stand competing against the tools, all the guys that would surround a hot chick. I don't mind, you know, going through two or three or four, but I ain't going to go fight off 10 or 20 of them or an army of them. So the hottest chick has never been my market segment. I'll look at her and go, yeah, she's pretty, but then I just sort of blow her off. Now, in a weird way, some women go, well, why aren't you paying attention to me like all the other guys? And I would have them come over later. But because I was so different, I told these girls, I'm not going to go against 10 or 20 guys. I would always go for her cute, sexy sidekick, the girl that was the 6, 7, or 8. Never the 9 or 10, but she was good enough for me, and I liked those numbers, 6, 7, and 8. So I go, that was my, with the, my point is every guy has to know your market segment, what works for you. Some guys like to pay a lot of time, effort, and money, and some guys want to pay a lot lower. So figure out what you want to pay in time, effort, and money to pursue any chickie that's out there, any woman, and then figure out that first, and then pursue it with wild abandon.
Yeah, like I told you the other night, you know, I ended up for about 6 months dating a woman who was kind of labeled the bachelorette of Scottsdale, and men paid a lot of money at these charity events to go out to lunch and dinner with this woman. And like I told you, you know, the first night I met her, I paid her no attention at all. And she literally came up to me asking me why not. And you know, I could tell she was trouble. I knew it was trouble from the start. But you know, I still blew her off for a luncheon date, and ended up taking her out for dinner. And you know, I didn't take her to any, you know, place super fancy. But you know, I was like, you know, she always said I was mean to her. But then I found out that a gentleman who dated her before me had her on a $10,000 a month allowance. So, you know,
yes.
I used to say, I'm not a mean guy because I don't give you $10,000 a month. And she goes, no, you just seem like you're mean to me. And I'm like, no, I just don't, like, cater to you, you know.
Right.
I treat you fair like I treat every woman I date, fair and equitable, you know. And, yeah, you know, try that, guys. I mean, with these, you know, fantastically beautiful women, when you pay them no attention, that's when they want the attention. And they can't figure
out
why somebody's not, like, drooling over them. And, you know, and then, you know, 6 months later, it's all big trouble anyway. So, you know, it's not going to last that long. But that's why I don't go after those kinds of women, because I already, you know, as beautiful as they are, that's how much trouble you're going to get. You know, one comes with the other. You know what I mean?
Yes. And in the Asian world, it's called the yin and the yang. And the ancient Chinese actually have a phrase for that. They say the more beautiful the woman, the more dangerous she is. And I have found that to be true. The more, and it's not that you're afraid of the pretty woman. We don't say, well, you know, no, your looks don't intimidate me at all. I think women are easy to talk to. I don't care what they look like. I had balls of steel. I would walk up to women in bars in Purdue, walk up to a whole bevy of them, and start talking to them and wowing them. And, you know, some liked it, some didn't. The ones that walked away, great. I would get rid of them really quick and focus on the two or three that I like. And I liked it when that shrew, that bitch left. Good, go. Get out, get off my cloud. Get the hell out of here, you know. And it was sort of my way, because most guys would sit back and go, wow, he walked up there. Yeah, guys, just, I mean, again, I have no fear with stuff like that. But my point is, in talking to these girls, is they were so pretty, and they had so many guys trying to clamor for their attention. I just was never in that game. And to me, it was more pain than gain, you know? And I saw guys trip over themselves and make fools of themselves, really embarrass themselves, trying to impress a girl who had bat her eyelashes at you. And, man, to me, I was going, boy, this guy, I mean, it was almost pathetic to watch at times. Some guys trying so hard to get that 10, that 9. I'm going, I was already out the door with the 7 or the 8. Said, I'll see you later. Bye. I'm out of here. And you know, that's a story of my life. But every guy, I know what works for me. Every guy needs to know what works for him. And once you analyze that, the rest is easy, you know. And what are your final thoughts, Paul, about dating in America in 2021, or just meeting up with a girl Pros and cons, man. Floor is yours.
Yeah, you know, relationships aren't easy anyways, so dating now at post-COVID is even more difficult. You know, I actually recently met someone I thought I kind of connected with, and, you know, it's kind of odd because, you know, I'm kind of wondering where things are going, and I think people are just more reserved right now because of this whole, you know, year and a half COVID shutdown. It's kind of odd now, you know, we're all learning again, you know, we're all starting over, and I think it's good in one form because everybody's been isolated who is single, at least for a year. So they've come to know themselves a little better. But in the same time, I think things have gotten a little awkward, as far as like, we're all kind of rusty on this dating scenario as well. So, you know, it's a new jungle to navigate, and, you know, who knows where this is going to lead, you know? I'm trying to think of a good post-COVID dating site to come up with to make a good financial gain with this, you know? I just can't come up with anything yet. So.
I love it. I love it, man. Always a good idea. That's a great business site idea. Get that off the ground, you know? But, yeah, I think you're right. I think people are rusty as hell. I think they're trying to find their way. This post-COVID America, women too, you know, and this is a show where we love women on to the show, but American society says, how dare you think critically of a woman? It's almost taboo in our society. My show, we look at, you know, reality on the ground, and we're not going to candy coat women or elevate them where they don't deserve to be elevated. We're going to tell it how it really is in the dating world. This show is not about mimicking what other people say or what other parts of society say, whether it be your family or your churches, and they're all well, fine, and good. This is a show about the real life that people are going through, male and female. Women have their pros and cons with men. I get that. But you know what? What I told a few of them is one chick said, hey, why don't you have a show about us women? I go, because you have 1,000 books in every bookstore. You've got every podcast dedicated to you. You've got everything catering to you in American society where, let's face it, the women are elevated, the men are put down. And
yeah,
I go, this is the only show for men. So screw you, lady.
They've had
literally, I said, you.
Yeah, they've had Oprah
ahead,
Winfrey and Oprah Winfrey and Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh.
They've had the talk, the scoop, every girl show, four girls. They put lesbians and African Americans and Latinos, and you know they put the whole rainbow up there, and you know gay women and just like, you know what, you got everything else, man. Give us one show. We're only doing this once
right.
a month right now. Give us one day a month. Like you have a Flag Day, you have a Cheese Pizza Day, then you have a full pizza day, like put all your toppings on. You got Ice Cream Day, you got Gay Woman Day, you got women, gay women who adopt babies day. You know, all we want is one day a month to do a radio show, man, and listen to some Frank Sinatra, some Dean Martin, have a cocktail, and tell our side of the story, you know?
Exactly. Thank you, Paul the Gladiator. This is a show for us to tell our side of the story. God, you nailed it. The women out there, I told this chick, I've had two of them walk up to me and go, you're that radio guy. I heard about you. And see, this, I tell you guys, our shows are getting around like wildfire. We're the underground. We're the riptide of the ocean. I'm telling you, from our political show to this Bachelor show, these two girls said, I heard about you in that Bachelor show in your book. And then I pointed back at her and I go, well, why don't you buy it, you biatch? I didn't say that. But I was busting her chain, and she said, look, I said, what's in it for me, honey bunny, to do a show about you? What's in it for me, the man? Zero, zip, nada. And she shut up. And I go, you know it, I know it, and the American people know it. There's nothing in it for me. Are you going to come over to my house? No. Are you going to buy 100 of these books and give them to your girlfriends? No. And I'm not going to be shut down by some biatch. Okay, capiche? So I sent her on her little merry way. I said, why don't you go into a bar and have some guy buy you a drink and leave me the F alone. Literally, when I get like that, I get in those moods, it comes out New York style on those ladies. And I like them, but to an extent where it's like they have these outrageous demands in America. Like, I'm supposed to do a show for you? And like Paul, you know, like you have said, man, we can't have one frickin' day a month for a Bachelor's Den show? Are you kidding me? See, that's the problem with America right there. The women, as I've told you before, though they're well-meaning and we like how they look, blah, 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 but they have outrageous psychological entitlement complexes. In other words, they believe everything should cater to them 24/7, man. And we're like, F that. Screw you. You know, you got all these books and shows. You got The View, Ellen DeGeneres, blah, blah, blah. And all these cuck guys on, even the males that have the host shows, they cater to every woman and they kiss her ass and they rub her feet and they're so weak and, oh, so, you know, I mean, it's okay to fawn a little bit over a pretty face, but guys, come on, have some self-respect. I'm serious. I mean, I'm watching these guys on TV. It's so bad, Paul, that even the Chinese Communist Party, this is one thing I agree with China on. They said no more sissy men on Chinese television. It made national world news. They were tired of gay, sissy men and TV hosts in China. And I go, hey, that's the one thing we can, like, agree on in the great divide here. I would tell the Chinese, though I can't stand China or their communism, I am very anti-communist, but that's one thing we can, like, agree on, is that we have too many sissy men on our TV shows. And the problem is too many young guys watch that and think, oh, that's how I have to act. No, that's not how you have to. If you act like those, don't forget, those guys have got millions of dollars, millions of endorsements. Everyone's fawning over them. And they have it made in the shade, right? The rest of us have to work for a living. And it's expensive out there. And I told you guys, don't spend $30 or $40 of your hard-earned money on the first pretty face you see. Meet the girl. Meet her cheap, $10 a date or less. If she doesn't want to meet, then screw her and say next. Get the concept of next in your head. Next, next, next. The next job, the next girl. Keep clicking your fingers over and over and over, and eventually you'll find what you want. You know, it is what it is, Paul. I tell you, man, the jungle out there.
That's
we
right.
have our show, and we're going to keep the show on the air.
Good.
Thank you, man.
All right, man.
Thank you, Paul.
We'll talk to you.
Have a great night. Bye. Thanks, buddy. We'll get to you maybe later on in the show if we have time here. God, so, so true. Dean Martin and the Rat Pack and Frank Sinatra, we love those guys from a bygone era in pre-COVID America in our cool retro past. Well, it sounds a little bit like this.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture of the ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it.
Janice Rule and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go. They get you in a blink, the edge or on the brink. But bam, wham, bam.
It's too Too much for one mad hound, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
They're the ambushers.
That's right. Now, when you call at 563-999-3437, when you call, just know we will talk about all things which affect the man's life today, whether it be chicks, dating, relationships, working out, diet, sex, God forbid, vice, the law, the economy, politics, the court system in America, child support, kids, yikes, the nuclear family. Give me a cocktail. Traditional life versus the wild and hedonistic bachelor life, pros and cons, work, war and peace, and everything else in between. When you call, have an angle, get that manly angle, which we're famous for, the manly instinct of how your story or quote or call pertains to the bachelor of America today, whether he is never married, just divorced, or thinking of it as a MGTOW way to go forward in life. Rest assured, we will cover a lot of ground in the show. And now let's get over to the Irish Pirate, our tech wizard, who is a man about town. And I think he's been having a gal pal on his arm recently. Let's bring him on and chime in and see how all that is working out and going for him. Mr. Pirate, how are you doing, sir?
I almost feel like I should welcome you to the show because you're definitely looking to see where I'm going to go with this phone call, and I could go a number of ways. So I'm just going to say, you caught me on the right night. You caught me on the right night. I definitely could go a number of ways, and I feel good about the opportunities on this show. I have to say that so far there's been the cul-de-sac. Nobody I know wants to date anymore. They really can't stand it. Last month we talked about that the technology is just there to trap you, and there's so many bots online anyway, that it's just
right.
Not worth the opportunity. So the hard part is you got COVID lockdowns and all sorts of things. How are you going to meet somebody if it's not going to be from dating? Of course you want to do the obvious and just go do things you like to do. But that's not going to work either if other people are locked down or declared to be not worthy of being in the same place as where you're at for some reason. So this is very hard. So I offer this.
Yeah.
It pays to have your eyes open for what it is you do like. And that opportunity, since you brought up how there is the gal pal you're referring to, and everything is doing quite nicely, thank you. I've
nice.
Waited a long time to select, which helps a lot. But I also had one other problem. I've been going through so many things lately. You know, for example, I taught chess for 35 years, and now I'm not. So one of the things we've been doing is we've been doing a lot of prepping and shopping and doing things like that. And that is where I met my current. And that's not normal. I've been shopping for the last, 17 years in Phoenix? And so you would think that that's not, by percentage, going to be a high roller bet there. But when you have your eyes open, you can see an opportunity. So let me give you, for example, how I saw this opportunity that became what it is now.
Yeah.
I was at a discount rack, and a woman was there, and instead of backing off, going shy, or actually wondering what kind of a disease everybody else was carrying and running away scared, this person looked me in the eye, and she said, "Do you see anything here in this rack you like?" And my imagination, of course, went wild.
Right.
And so I said,
as a matter of fact,
what?
I do, babe. Right.
Yeah, well, I said, you know what, because I'm going to start practical here. I mean, I talk a lot of double and even quadruple entendres where the perverted angle is just one of them, but I also advertise at every opportunity my own intelligence. I'd like to scare off the ones that would rather have a guy that's dumber than they are.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just scare them off because that's not going to be a good conversation. That's not going to lead to anything but the usual things, and I might even give you a story a little later in this conversation about how I keep fighting how America cheats the public with, you know, the Harlequin romances and the movies and everything, and then guys have to live down the stigma. So I'll get to that in a moment.
Yes.
But right now, I'm looking at a woman that literally is asking me what I like. So right here, the car is coming to a stop. It's like, wait a minute. Somebody asking me what I want for a change? It, you know, in a grocery store discount rack instead of running scared? Okay, the door is open now. And so I answered honestly. I said, you know what? I'm looking for cacao nibs. I saw, you know, one of these. And so they had them half price. And these things are great. As you know, I've been underwent a surgery recently. And my regimen of what I get to eat is rather limited. And so I like the idea of I'm going to digest good food only for the next 4 to 7 months while I go through this. The cacao nibs, that's what I want. And so I'm expecting you're like, get out of the way or something and let me have them, or ask me questions about the cacao nibs or something like that. That's kind of the usual thing I get here. Mm-hmm. And instead, she goes looking through the rack for all the cacao nibs, if you can imagine this. She's literally acting like, I know what service is. I asked you what you wanted, so therefore I'm obligated to give it to you right now. And so now this is where now I've got an eyebrow raised, thinking, wait a minute. She asked me what I wanted, and then she actually went to the procedure of giving it to me. I had to take a half a step back. I'm like, okay, either there's something extremely wrong with this woman, or there's something extremely right with this woman. Either she has nothing better to do, or she understands service the way it should be done in the community. I mean, I'm always trying to help people when I see they need a hand. And that usually means I befriend families and people like that. Usually the woman thinks there's always some sort of an angle on it. And the answer is, too early to tell. So anyway, she loads up on my cart, and I mean slamming these things into the cart. She's not gently putting them in. She's like, I bet you like these. Boom, 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 boom. I'm going like, okay. So number one, we know we're not dealing with an introvert. Number two, we know someone who actually knows what service means. That actually suggests knowledge of the Bible, for example, which is a plus for me. I'm looking for that. But then finally, we have to come to the conclusion of, okay, now that you found that, we need to have a conversation. Well, that conversation went 2.5 hours sitting in the store. This is, and what we learned from this conversation was my IQ is probably somewhere between 130 and 140. Hers is 160. She just absolutely had something to say. And here's what I'm trying to tell you about. You're not going to be able to find someone in a dating arena with a 160 IQ. Let's get that over with right now. We're talking about dating sites. People who have a higher IQ are really capable of finding some other way of communicating, which you and I both do.
Right.
So the fun part now is, how do you deal with getting something off the ground? You literally have to, and here's my suggestion to all the bachelors out there. You can't just be pretty to everybody. Not everybody even thinks you're pretty. And I can go back into my history and think of all the girls I was attracted to, and an over percentage of them are redheads. I think that's probably, if I get to put up the poster because I'm a victim or something and I have to have my beautiful women, I go for the redhead posters just to keep me going. But then you come down to the brass tacks.
Right.
You get the brass tacks of actually selecting, and you find you're going to be selecting a girl is much more like the girl next door look. And what you're hoping for as a bachelor, get this, ladies, you're realizing that, okay, so there's nothing wrong with the view. And what you're really praying for is nothing phony about the view. I mean, here, one of my favorite jokes I've ever heard told by comedians, imagine the woman that's going to, trick out her eyebrows, put on some radical colored lipstick, float the eyelashes out there with some artificial product, jack up her height with a pair of high heels, tummy tuck, the whole nine yards, and then go out looking for an honest man. I mean, what? Right.
So, exactly. That's what I keep saying. The women have fake eyelashes and fake boobs and fake lips and Botox, but they want a real man.
Right now,
isn't that amazing?
Getting out of the story of what gets to happen next out of a store like that, I can tell you there is nothing phony going on here. Everything was real. The conversation stayed real. I didn't jump shift anything. You know, I'm digging. I'm learning. And the more I learn, the more I get to go on. Because 1 month ago, we were talking about what happens when on day three, you find out, 60, 90 degrees later, they're 180 degrees off the subject at hand that's already been established through the conversation. I mean, I don't know anything worse than phony, and nothing's more phony than a hypocrite. And it doesn't
that's
take
right.
long for a guy like me with my analytical qualities to catch a hypocrite. On the other hand, we also discussed 1 month ago that one of the best opportunities out there right now is that the women that are seeking higher level degrees, let's back that off. The people seeking the higher level degrees are 63% women.
Yes.
And there's a big gap forming, not in the younger athletic women out there. There's still plenty of them to go around, but there's still plenty of men to chase them. And you just mentioned that. That's probably not a good opportunity based on natural selection and competition. I probably want
right.
to avoid that anyway. So instead, you go to where the opportunities are. I've already, I guess, proven, if I will, that's my claim anyway, that I'm intelligent. I'm going to go to where the intelligentsia are whenever possible. Unfortunately, college campuses can't be that because they're too political.
Right.
They're dumbing people down, and you can actually prove
that's
that.
That's right.
In the music, it's in the books. So the real hard part is it has to come in a chance meeting like what I've discussed. You got to keep your eyes open. She's out there, and you with lockdowns and everything else going on, you're running out of time, guys. You're really running out of time. You're going to have to open your eyes and check this out. The other thing was, obviously, I'm going into surgery. I'm not going to come out the same guy for a while. This is not cool. And I was just hoping that I would meet somebody before the surgery, that way they get to know me before I actually had something changed for the better forcefully.
Mm-hmm.
So they would actually see who I really am versus, or what I've become would be even better. Because the whole point of this, Von Wiehunt, the reason you're a bachelor is you're not looking forward specifically to your future on a script. You're looking for an opportunity that you can actually do the dance together, if you will, to be able to twirl
exactly.
that ballerina. And so
exactly.
here's where, now I want to add a story that is not related, because this is very important to what it is I can't stand about society. They're always telling you what you want. And in my current relationship, we have thrown out all evidence of romance that is not first party driven. If you can't say this is what I want and actually show it in your own behavior, you don't deserve it. I mean, forget what Harlequin says or even what a porn flick says. How do you know you want it if you can't dream it up yourself? Get your creative genes flowing and imagine what you could be able to create with someone who actually gets it. And you better be able
right.
to operate on that wavelength rather than having to dictate, which says you're a weakling. And too many guys have
right.
to dictate. And unfortunately, phony gals have to dictate because they know they're going to get caught. I say go ahead and start talking. All right. Anyway, when I was in junior high, I moved to Wyoming from California. I became an outcast instantly. I didn't fit in. And society knew I didn't fit in, and they're going to give me a hard time.
Young bachelor outcast. Yes.
And
it's a real thing.
You can definitely translate this now to the incels of today that accepted this. You don't accept this. You come out the bottom, and I need a break. Well, my mom tries to be nice to me and rents out the local skating rink, which is only available on weekends. And she says, your birthday's coming up on a Tuesday. I'll rent the thing on a Tuesday, and everybody wants to come skating on a Tuesday when they can't, so they'll all come. And she was right. But there's a problem. I'm still on the bottom. So they get a chance to skate when otherwise they don't get to. I still have to come up with a way to move myself up. So I came up with one, and it was very dangerous. But it's worth it when you're on the bottom. You got nothing to lose anyway. So I knew somewhere along the line I would be skating with a popular and beautiful girl because I was going to let that happen. And it turned out a flashlight skate gave it to me. We can go into those details later. So I skate with her for like three quarters of a lap, and somebody else takes it from me. But the rumors start flying. And this is the fun part. Now I have leverage. Now I have something that when I'm in the public square, in this case even in eighth grade, there's an opportunity here. And somebody comes running up to me within, oh, I don't know, 15 minutes and says, I heard you were skating in the corner with this girl. And my response was, who told you that? I wasn't going to tell him that's not possible. I wasn't going to tell
right.
him, yeah, don't feed me a lie. Instead,
sure,
by not
sure.
answering the questions, I'm telling him, make me a lie. Give me something to work
right.
with. All I've got is three quarters of a lap. That's all I've
exactly.
got.
Exactly. But
and
see, it's
world,
making those little breaks, those breaks in reality, those little decisions that can create a new persona for you as a young man. Irish, we'll get back to you later on in the show, okay?
Okay.
We'll do a recap.
We will do that.
With the callers. Absolutely, man. Good stuff there. Good stuff there. Some stories, some conjectures, Irish pirate. Love that stuff. Kind of reminds me of this guy. Well, I found some music that I thought would be conducive. I kind of liked it. It sounds like a skating rink, what Irish Pryor was talking about, the cosmic dancing and skating night. Used to love those back in the day. Well, how to live the great bachelor life. We'll get back on some points of conjecture here. Guys, learn to take good care of yourself. Learn about what makes you look good and what makes you feel good. This is the time in which you can form your preferences about your style, your manner of dressing, and the way you wear your hair. Indulge in crafting your image to the world the way you want it. Figure out yourself first. Then, and only then, can you embrace the world. People will say to you, they run to me and said, hey, man, I think you and your friends are this and that. You guys are set in your ways. And I put the pointer back in their face, and I go, that's a great thing. Because when you're set in your ways to a certain extent in life, you know what you like and you know what you don't like. And then that's called experience. And people say, oh, you're set in your ways. That means no, we have experience. We know as a male bachelor with that manly Viking instinct, we know what works and we know what doesn't work for us. So if we skip over things or situations or quote-unquote opportunities or women, trust me, somewhere in the pipeline, there's a method to my madness or your madness. Also, guys, be self-reliant. Learn to clean and maintain your living space. Be self-reliant. In other words, don't be so needy 24/7. We've always got to have a girlfriend. Hang out with you're a bro sometime. Remember that saying back in a few years back, bros before hoes? It's true to a certain extent. You know, you want to be self-reliant. You want to be able to do things by yourself. In other words, if you boil it down, guys, be comfortable in your own skin. Many of you are not, and I get that because you don't know yourself. Learn, take the time to be self-reliant and learn about yourself, and you'll be a lot more comfortable in your skin. You'll also be able to recognize BS very, very astutely and quickly. Your BS meter will be like mine. It will be a radar field that spans the universe and cosmos. I can spot BS in a minute from a woman or a situation. When you walk into a party, be the life of the party. When you enter the party begins. And where you are is the best place in the world at all times. Remember the Van Halen philosophy, everywhere you go, there you are. And so wherever you are in life is the place it is. Tell women what you want to tell them. You can say and think what you want. You tell them the BBD, the bigger, better deal, if you can. But you got to be able to back it up, too. I told you before, guys, take the time to discover yourself and what makes you tick from a psychological, deeper perspective. You deserve to understand yourself well and to push past the expectations others have of you to discover what you really want in life and who you really are. Do you want to start a business? Do you want to remain a bachelor? Do you want to start a family? Do you want to buy that new car? Whatever it is, what do you really want in life? Think about that seriously. Determine your purpose in life. And think about what you want to achieve. Make some plans. Write some things down. It's not going to hurt you. Get out some pen and paper. Go on a Word document. Whatever. Whatever works for you. Some guys, I know men that have journals, and they want to write things down old school style, retro bachelor style. Some guys type everything out on a Word document. It's okay to have affirmations, positive affirmations. For your life, these need to get deep, deep into your manly mind. And also make peace with being a bachelor, whether it's for now or for the long term or short term, whether it's by choice or by necessity. Seek to accept the circumstances for what you are at this time in your life. Plan to make the most of your quote-unquote uncoupled status. Be grateful, oh, also grateful for the situation you have at this specific time and the people you know in this time-space continuum. Do you know how many guys who are married or miserable with 3 or 4 or 5 kids would envy you and you don't even know it? You know how many guys would love to trade places with you? Maybe you haven't had children yet. Maybe they're bogged down with the responsibilities, the heavy responsibilities, I may add, of wife, children, toil, obligation, paying for it all, financial woes. Maybe they have child support from a previous marriage. Maybe they're constantly broke, and they know no matter how hard they work, they're going to be broke for the next 25 to 30 years until all the kids are finally raised and finally on their own. And don't say it's going to be 18, because the 18-year-olds now are not ready for primetime play. They're not ready for the real world. They're just not. They're not ready for it. They can't do it. They're not going to be able to afford an apartment or a place to be. They can't do it. And you're going to have to fill in the gaps and help them out. And I know you say you won't do it, but a lot of you are going to have to do it because you're going to be in a family and a relationship. And remember, when times get tough, people are going to look to you, the man, as the quote-unquote provider. You're the provider, the financial provider. And if you don't provide, everyone's going to think you're a chump. And then your wife's not going to give you any, you know, on Saturday night. And you know how that goes. And there we have it. That is the crucible. I just told you your whole life story. So I'm telling you, a lot of guys will envy you because of your bachelor status. Don't look down upon that. You should say, man, am I lucky. I've got the world by the tail, the tiger by the tail. I've got the bachelor lifestyle in America, the most envied position of the entire world. Men all over the world want to come here. We see it every day at our border, okay? And you're an American bachelor. You're making some decent money. You got a place. You got a car. In many ways, you're richer than 70, 80% of the world that lives in third world conditions. Many men, too, in those countries have to fight wars at 17 or 18. Many end up dead. Nations are famous for killing their young men for no good reason. We don't have a draft in America to go join the military. You can stay here stateside and have a great time. Be true to yourself, guys. Listen to your heart and your head together. Don't feel that you have to choose one over the other. Always think with both. Don't feel that you have to date or even marry someone just because of social expectations or family pressures. And family pressure, don't underestimate it. It's a real thing. And it's a thing, man. And your mother, your father, your extended family, people will put the screws to you seven ways to Sunday trying to get you to do something that maybe you don't want to do. Like the old saying, you can bring a horse to water, you cannot make it drink. I say this, if the bachelor's life is working great for you and very well, then stay there. And that's your choice for now. And you don't have to conform to anyone's expectations or other people's expectations of you at any time. You can change on a dime, but you, the man, you alone make that decision. Be aware that there will always be someone in your life who thinks they know better than you what you need. Remember, I always used to tell those guys coming up as a young buck, you're not paying my bills. And unless you want to pay my bills, shut the F up and do not dictate to me or lecture me how I should comport myself in my life. Listen politely to them, but don't be swayed if what they say doesn't ring true for you. This world right now is about you and your pursuit of happiness. Avoid being defensive about your status as a bachelor. It comes across as self-righteous and alienating in our culture. If a person spends a lot of time defending who they are or their life choices, you see some guys do this. It's one thing to elevate and talk about it, but brush it off and move on. You've already made that call. You don't need to tell 1,000 people. Remember, we're not trying to convert the world to a bachelor lifestyle. That is not our game. They either are in it or they're not. Many of you will get married at a later date. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. That's a personal choice. But in today's society, getting married is a very dicey thing, very risky. Remember, all it takes, guys, is for the woman to criticize you, and you come home after a long day of work, and she's pouting on the sofa, and she says, I'm not happy. And that's all it takes to start divorce proceedings. Remember my book, that 70% of all divorces in America are not started by the man. They are started by the woman. So women have a burning desire, a mad bum rush to get married. And the minute they're married, they can't stand it and they divorce you. Some women do it as a business. That's how they get ahead in life. Oh, my ex-husband bought me this car and I have this property. And this. Some women do it as a business. They'll never admit that to you, but they really do. And they'll tell their girlfriends, though, and they'll snicker and laugh behind your back. Some women just make a bad choice. But you can avoid these traps. These are traps, economic traps. You drive around town. Boys, have you seen those billboards of all the attorneys? Divorce, call me, 1-800-DIVORCER-NOW. Or 1-800-YOU-GOT-SCREWED. Yeah, they're all over town in every city. So you can avoid those traps and those litigious fees by being happy. It all comes down to you being happy with your bachelorhood status without insisting that you should do something or trying to convince yourself to be something that you're not at this time in your life. Avoid those attorneys are getting rich, filthy rich, exploiting your estate, taking your money, taking your business, taking your land, your properties, your cars, and dividing it up, dividing the spoils, if you will, like dividing the garments of Jesus at the cross. They're dividing the spoils, making money off your misery is what they do. So you want to be comfortable in your own skin. Being comfortable in your own skin is a big, big part of it. You know, be a grateful, resourceful, and resilient person who likes life just the way it is right now. Yet, you are open to the possibilities the future may bring with any woman that you may meet at a future date, whether good, bad, or indifferent. And with that, to sum it all up, all we really want, guys, is some cherry pie.
my daughter no more.
What a great song. It is so much to ask in America. Can a man get a slice of cherry pie without being accosted by the feminazis, vice squads or the police? It's a very crazy world out there, guys. I told you before, you got to be really careful and navigate the minefield of American life very, very carefully. Well, I thought I'd read you an excerpt of the book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, which I will read for you now. This book came out in 2012, and we sold copies all over the world. But I thought you would get a kick out of this. In the 1960s, reading from my book, we had hippie bachelors in the summer of love and heroic warrior bachelors who came home from Vietnam. In the 1970s, the bachelor went disco, looking like John Travolta in his white pimp suit in the Saturday Night Fever movie, and he even explored the peace movement. In the 1980s, the bachelor reemerged as a preppy, or as the infamous character Gordon Gekko style, bad boy capitalist of Wall Street, as they took center stage from the faded hippie culture, and again ruled the day. In the 1990s, the bachelor was a techie of sorts and dominated the landscape, and suddenly the high school geek was cool again in the coffee houses, and the band Nirvana was all the rage. In the 2000s, not too long ago, the bachelor went stealth and has now reemerged to again take his rightful place on the throne and altar of manhood. The retro lounge scene and lounge lizard and crooner music and Playboy and lingerie parties have been brought back to full life and are now once again all the rage and emulate the classic 1960s and 1970s Playboy mansion scene in true Italiano and Guido style. From the caveman to the pirates of the Caribbean, to the medieval knights of old, to the Hollywood movie star icon, and to the suburban hip bachelor of today, just know that you still rule like a Roman Caesar. How about those apples? And that's from the book. There's more of it. Well written, fun, breezy. You'll learn a lot and you won't even notice that you're learning it. So I know people learn in different ways, and the book has got deep cosmic knowledge that once you read two or three pages a night, though it's a big book like the galaxy, you're going to be a man about town, and it's going to transform you literally right before your eyes.
Right through.
Are you living in your own planet? You're a bachelor on the make. Well, guys, you're going to be very busy out there. You're going to have lots of events to go to and things to do. And by the way, I love the B-52s. That's just got a great guitar intro. Fantastic party song. But as you're going through life, you're going to have a social calendar. And look, you got to do what works for you. If you love going out often, if you're an extrovert, kind of like me, and you love attending parties, events, and festivals, then that's your thing. That's when you're in your muse, if you will. If you prefer quiet walks in the park or woods and maybe a good read, I like that too, but I got to be in the mood for that. Then that's your thing as well. Don't feel pressured to be what you're not. Sometimes assumptions about your single status may result in people demanding that you do things that don't interest you or that you're not into. But I love to go out, love to meet new people, love to do things. And there's some times I want to chill at the house, watch a DVD, get a pizza, read a book. I will tell you, as a bachelor, you need to be well-read because as the tip of the spear, spiritually, physically, party culture, and even intellectually, you need to be smart. Now, I read a few books at any one given time. One that I am reading right now is Jim Marr's book, Above Top Secret, Uncover the Mysteries of the Digital Age. Now, I always read my book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, but you've got to branch out once in a while. So read some books, and it's great stuff for parties, and it's a good book on conspiracy theories and stuff of that nature. Whatever interests you, pursue it. Have plenty of friends. Friendship is definitely an important part of the bachelor's life. Some friends will be close. Most friends you know, you'll see them. You might have dinner, different kinds of interactions with them at work, social and family events, things of that nature. Be friendly and supportive of your friends and back them up at all times to ensure that they keep you involved in their lives as well. Realize that dating is part of the bachelor's life if you pursue it. There's no need to be lonely. You may be searching for, quote-unquote, the one, or you may just want to find not Mrs. Right, but Mrs. Right Now. There's nothing wrong with that either. You may just want to have casual relationships for a while. Nothing wrong with that. Not everybody has a marriage agenda 24/7. Now, most women that you meet over age 30 are looking for security. They're looking for a man who's serious, who wants to settle down. If that's not your bag, then don't promise relationships that you can't keep. Then hit it and quit it and move on down the road, and you know what I mean. Whatever your motivation in life, relationships are still very much a part of your potential. And remember, guys, what your dad used to tell you, or your uncle, relationships are like cruise ships. There's always a new one docking in the harbor. Just wait, and one comes around very, very soon. Wait for your ship to sail. If you don't want to date, take a break from it. Hang out with your guy friends. Go find yourself. Go on hiking trails. Meditate. You know, go watch a movie. Consider traveling. Travel is fantastic. Now, there is sex tourism. There is expat travel. You can learn about the entire world very fast if you travel. And there are plenty of places to go see in the world and many ways to get there. So, and being single is great to travel. You can go in a group, and then you can leave the group when you want and come back to the group for dinner, things like that. Because you don't have to make compromises or lug around family or girlfriend baggage and drama and all kinds of other things that you don't need or want in your life. Make the most of this time now while you're single. Because once you get married, and I know a lot of you guys say you'll never get married, but you're fooling yourself because most of you will end up getting married at some point. So do the traveling now, see the world now, sow your wild oats now, have a good time, because you've got the greatest mobility ever, and you've got the income to travel, and that's the great thing about being a bachelor in America today. Oh, yeah, Dr. Goldfoot and the Bikini Machine. Great late 1960s movie. I actually have that on DVD. I thought, what a great song for the show with Vincent Price and the Supremes. Fantastic. I have a collection of those late 1960s, early 1970s type of flicks. I've been collecting them for years. Try to get them on DVD. Some only come in VHS, but I have both here in the studio. But a lot of you guys are out there. Look, I tell everybody, get a dog. Dogs are a great companion animal, a dog or a cat. I like them both. A dog can be taken for walks daily, allows you as a bachelor to get exercise, get out and about in your neighborhood and interact with people. And even see some new places around your neighborhood. It's a companion animal. Enables you to have a living creature to care for and love. And have two or three dogs. I am thinking of getting another dog, actually, a German Shepherd. Because I am the Germanic Warlord. And that show will be this Thursday, our political show. More of a fun. We make fun of geopolitics, but it's also very, very serious as well. This is the fun show, and it's fun to get away from all that stuff for a while. Take a breather. Talk to some friends. And everyone's life has stress. But as a bachelor, you need to learn how to manage it appropriately and how to solve your problems when they come up. And if you can do that, you'll be just fine. You want to call the show in the last segment? We're at 563-999-3437. I promise we'll get you on the air. We have a lot of people I'm showing in the studio board. They're listening all over the nation. Call us up. And so, look, you've got to manage your life, guys. Manage it in the best way possible. Let's bring on Irish back for his final thoughts on bachelordom. Couple of minutes here, and they'll go into a new Sedgway. We'll get Irish on here for a couple more minutes. Mr. Pirate.
All right. Yes, sir.
What are your thoughts on bachelordom in America and going forward?
I think the idea of being a bachelor is to be the strongest person that you can represent yourself to be, which in America will have to start being political. But when it's not political, it's a social issue. And to be strong in a social means you got to know who you are, what you're after. And where we've been talking earlier, flexibility is key. You're having your eyes open. You're looking for what's cool. And that's
like
easy to do if they're trying to tell you what your values are, like you were talking about. You can't let them do that. So if you can define
your
own values, now, unfortunately, you're responsible to find what those values point to. And I was telling you a story a while back, and I want to bring it up because there's a hidden surprise in it.
Sure.
Just for your show. All right. We had the situation where I was at the roller skating rink, and now that's history. It's the next day, and I'm going to school, and the rumors are flying. I've never, ever warranted this kind of attention at the school, but there's a boyfriend out there who doesn't like the rumors, and I knew I was going to have to face him. I tried to limit that and let it die out, but alas, here's the little secret I want to tell you. This became a screenplay. This is something that I've actually written, and it's been, I won't say like published with a copyright or anything, but it's out there in written form that somebody could have it. And so the neat part of this is in the scene with me trying to come to my locker, trying to avoid a boyfriend who, because of the rumor, has to come and kill me. This is the America we know and understand. The boyfriend is representing, everybody says he's got to kill me because, after all, it's his girlfriend. And the rumor says I might have been able to, I don't know, do something and take some form of indecent liberty with this girl, which has never been established. And the whole school wants to know. And so I arrive at school, and the first thing I hear is, you're dead. You are a dead man. All the rumors say that. And again, they're playing this stupid story that has nothing to do with what I want for my future. This is where I'm paralleling this to the bachelorhood of the American man today. You're stuck here at the bottom. We told you were going to be at the bottom. All I did was do 3/4 of a lap with probably the most beautiful, intelligent woman in the school. I did my best. And so now I got to pay for it. Well, maybe I could ride this out. Maybe I could go to my locker, pull a few last books for the day and just disappear into the classroom and it'll all go away. But it's lunchtime. I waited until there was about a minute left in the lunch period to do this. And I figure I'm safe. I get to the locker. I start to turn the dial. And a hand comes from above my head, and I'm a big dude. Hand comes from above my head and keeps my locker closed. And I realize, I was hoping that I could gain some social status in this, but right now I think the payment is due. So a voice comes from behind me and says, I heard a rumor. I said, people hear lots of rumors. So he spins me around, books go flying. Picks me up and he says, no, I'm referring to one specific rumor you might know something about. Now there's a crowd gathering and things are looking pretty bleak for my opportunities. And so my brain starts spinning. I am the future bachelor. I need a break. I'm not going to get it from him. I'm not going to get it from the crowd. I'm just not going to get it unless I can come up with something right now. So amazingly, I did. I my brain came up with something truly miraculous. I measured the value of why it is I would spend 3/4 of a lap with this guy's girlfriend. And I said, look, what you need to do is hit me. That's what the world is telling you to do. You need to hit me. I'm available right now that I'm pretty much powerless. So I want you to do it good. I'm right-eyed. And he's looking at me like, what? I said, this is the part where you get to show the world that I'm the only guy that can take your girlfriend. And he said, you know, you're pretty smart. You're pretty smart for a dead man. I said, I think we should be friends instead. And he did. He put me down.
Like
he
that.
Shook my hand. He said, you are the kind of person I would rather have be my friend than have to deck you in front of all these people.
Love
and
that.
And so we just – and I've taken that screenplay and I've given it to a lot of 12- and 13-year-old boys saying, just because you're different doesn't mean you're not playing for high stakes. The world deserves you too. And so from this,
like that.
The biggest problem we have is that dating site. That represents all those people who wanted to see a fight, right? They're all wanting the same thing, doing the same stuff. It's all a cul-de-sac. And even Gladiator is trying to get out of it saying, I don't want to play this stupid game. And the answer is, America, you don't have to. You really don't have to do it. You can set your own priorities as a bachelor, set your pad as a bachelor, decide what you want in the world as a bachelor, and maybe, just like me, just a few weeks ago, somebody might come into your life who actually says, is there something you really want in this world? I think I want to help you get it.
I love that.
And
Irish, thank you, man.
Response.
Appreciate it.
I
love that. Yes. Great story. Great story, man. Have a great night. Thank you. From the Irish Pirate, folks. Fantastic. And I'm sure you'll hear him again on Thursday night on our next show. But one thing I'd like to say to you guys, you can talk about all the philosophy you want, all the conjecture, all the angles, but whatever girl that you meet, whatever woman that you end up with, here's the big test. It's not in any Hollywood movie. I'll tell you what the secret is. Make sure the woman you select as your gal pal, your girlfriend, your consort, your wife, your steady, whatever. Make sure she works with you and not against you. I will say it again. Make sure she works with you, the man. If you feel tension, if you feel she's working against you, if she's a dream killer, trying to kill your dreams, trying to kill what you want to do, a business idea, and it's okay to have constructive criticism, but there's a lot of women that no matter what you guys think about or dream about, they immediately shoot it down. They immediately think they know better. And in our society, women are taught that they know better than you. Yet, they have to get a man to marry them, and their whole life, they plot how to get a man to marry them so they don't have to work as hard. And they can have some of the extras in life on your dime, on your money. Now, if you want that, that's fine. But just make sure that she works with you in your agenda and with what you want. If she doesn't, then drop her like a hot potato and move on. Like the old saying, there's plenty of fish in the sea, gentlemen. Also, make sure she doesn't call you a loser in public or to your face. If you're with one of those bitches, drop her again like a super hot potato. Because, well, she'll sound a lot like this 1960s biker flick called The Born Losers.
This chick's out for kicks and in for trouble with The Born Losers.
Just how is the mom initiated?
By getting it from everybody.
We're not coming out of orbit for 3 days.
Ah! Look at this! 600 Somalis!
These are the Born Losers, the sickest sickle gang that ever terrorized a town while the law stood helpless.
If only one of us had the guts to just cut them down.
I've been wanting to crack at you from the beginning.
Are you planning on fighting or talking me to death? Mr. District Attorney, any truth to the rumors that the girls will refuse to testify?
Remember, all you need is one witness to obtain an indictment.
Born losers, and they know it.
Please, don't do that.
How about a pretty please on your knees?
On your knees.
Billy Jack, I'm going to kill you if it's the last thing I do.
Does he say, you're a loser? Well, screw you, biatch. How about those apples? You can play at that game. And we make fun of these things because they're so common. The dating scene is so toxic in some areas, it's kind of fun to make fun of it. It's so absurd, we have to be more absurd to make it less absurd, if that makes sense. Or words to that effect. Well, we're going to go into a bit of overtime here. I found some more things that I wanted to play and do. This is kind of an improv show where we get off our, there's never a script here, but we get off script. We can kind of go into different genres in different areas of the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy radio show. Now, my show is not anywhere else on the radio, whether you listen to this show or Thursday's show. It's totally unique and totally different. Things that are paramount is that I will play some music, we will have callers on, and they'll get more than 30 seconds. On most shows that you listen to, you're listening to a host for 3 or 4 hours straight, and that's just too much to hear the drone of anyone's voice for that long. So I love to mix it up, so I want to play for you right now. This is really cool, sent to me by a fan in L.A. of the show. This is Jim Morrison. An actual Jim Morrison interview when, you know, Jim Morrison was the lead singer of The Doors. And I thought you'd find this very interesting because Jim Morrison was a bachelor and The Doors is the house band of our show. So I thought we'd play this and you can email me at vonwehentshow@gmail.com or call the show or call in next month or even this Thursday and let me know what you think. So here goes the very rare Jim Morrison interview that I got through clandestine measures. Somebody sent this to me from Los Angeles. I think it's really, really cool and fun to listen to. So you'll hear Jim Morrison being asked questions and his cool answers to them. So here it goes.
All right, so we're recording.
Is that recording?
You're ready to go.
So, how did you end up here?
You're listening to Blank on Blank, where lost interviews come to life. Distributed by the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. I'm David Gerlach. Jim Morrison loved to eat and talk about food. It's true. It's on tape.
Are you hungry?
Why do you ask that?
Well, maybe we could order out for some sandwiches or some chicken delight or something.
It's November 1969. We're inside the offices of The Doors. Howard Smith is writing for The Village Voice, and his tape recorder is on.
You're not hungry? Or how about you? Are you hungry? Oh, it's lunchtime. Well, did you have breakfast this morning? You did? What'd you have?
Oh, little things like chocolate cake and tea here.
Is that all you had?
Yeah.
You should eat more, Howard.
You put on a lot of weight. Are you eating a lot?
Well, you know, that's something that really bothers me. What's wrong with being fat? That's what I want to know. Why is there such...
I didn't say there was anything wrong with it.
Why is it so onerous to be fat? I don't see anything wrong with fat, you know? I mean, I remember when I used to weigh 185 pounds. I'm the same height. I was the same height that I am now. I weighed 185 pounds. And I was going to college, and I had this food ticket at the cafeteria. And the cafeteria food is mainly all based on starch. You know, it's cheap food, right? And so I don't know what it was, but in order, I don't know, I just felt like I was, if you missed your meal, you just, you know, I just figured, well, I was getting screwed, right? If I missed a meal, I just blew it. So I'd get up at 6:30 every morning just to make breakfast, right? Eggs and grits and sausages and toast and milk. Then I'd go do a few classes and I'd make it in there for lunch. Mashed potatoes. You know, every now and then they'd put a little piece of meat in something, you know. Then I'd go to a few more classes and then I'd go to dinner and it was more mashed potatoes. And so about 3 months later, I was 185 pounds. And you know what? I felt so great. I felt like a tank, you know? I felt like a large mammal, a big beast. When I move through the corridors or across the lawn, I just feel like I could knock anybody out of my way, you know? I was solid, man. It's terrible to be thin and wispy because, you know, you could get knocked over by a strong wind or something, you know? Fat is beautiful.
How much do you weigh now?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I guess somewhere in the neighborhood of about 150.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You want to compare biceps? You want that arm wrestling match, Howard? Are you ready? Are you
right.
In shape?
Yeah.
Well, what are the interviews of?
That's Jim Morrison on why fat is beautiful. You should see how we animated this interview for our new series with PBS Digital Studios. Check out all the episodes on YouTube and at blankonblank.org. Special thanks go out to the Smith Tapes Project. Find this interview and 99 more on iTunes. You can also pick up a limited edition box set of the collection at thesmithtapes.com. Plus, hear dozens of interview clips on SoundCloud and Facebook.
Very, very cool, man. Well, I would like to end with a few things here. But that was Jim Morrison talking there as the lead singer of The Doors. And I always get a kick. I used to really enjoy, I still do, the his music and The Doors. Well, guys, we're about to end our show here. We've talked a lot. We've had the Paul the Gladiator on. We have had, we have invoked Jim Morrison. We've had the Irish Pirate on. And look, if you don't want to end up like most men in life who settle down with a fat woman who resents you in a crappy house and driving a beat-up old minivan, no! You don't want that life. You'd rather live an exciting life of impulsive weekend trips, nights on the town with the boys and your girlfriend du jour of choice. You want to live in a delightfully tacky but fun and cutting-edge bachelor pad with a sports car, convertible, SUV ready to go on your next mountain or beach trip. If you want to live like that, you need to follow these rules in this show to live the exciting bachelor playboy lifestyle. And always read and listen to the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy book and radio show. Good luck to all bachelors out there in America. And as we say in the book, God save the bachelor king. Some things that you guys can do is no marriage until you are ready. Modern marriage is slavery for men. Marriage crushes a man's spirit, and divorce will bond you in chains of alimony forever, even after she meets the new guy. Don't forget that. Never spend, in my world, more than $10 on your first coffee meetup type date. 40 max. If you're spending exorbitant amounts of money on early dates, you are communicating to her that you're of low value. This makes you look like you're overcompensating with money because you think you have to buy her affections. You risk becoming the beta bucks bro that never takes her home, but who is always paying the bill like a cuck. Item 3, get the F out of that dating relationship. If you've had 3 dates with that woman without any sex or making out, get the hell out of there. You need to respect your time as a man. And if you can't get laid after 3 dates, you are likely entering the friend zone. She should be craving you by now, wanting you, desiring you. She is probably looking for a long-term relationship, okay? Maybe you can convince her otherwise, but if you still want to pursue it, that's okay. But the long-term thing may or may not be the way of the bachelor. You may want a long-term girlfriend, but you probably don't want a long-term wife. Also, guys, item number 4, no lunch dates. This sends a weird signal to the girl. You could be friends or coworkers just mingling. It doesn't signal a real date. Also, she's more likely to be busy after the lunch date, or she has to go back to work, and she's put you in the friend zone. That's the worst zone to be in. This robs you of the opportunity to take her back to your place afterwards. Leave the woman if she answers her phone during the date. Do not blow it off, and do not act like it didn't bother you. It did. Just get up, walk away. Don't even bother to say why. If she comes up after you and asks what happened, just say you only date girls with a minimum of social etiquette. Have some self-respect for your time, unless it's a dire emergency. But if she's chatting with her girlfriends or an ex-boyfriend on your time, screw that idea. And so, guys, we'll talk more about this in future shows. There's 5 tips from Von Weehunt and the show, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. The book is the retro and modern-day bachelor guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. We're so glad you were here tonight. We've had a lot of people listening in. And please call in on new shows. We'll be on the air again Thursday night. We thank you for being here, and God save the Bachelor King. Good night from the Bachelor's Den and the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. We love you all. Until next week.